Now, I must confess, I was born and raised in Northtown, Pennsylvania, and this is my very first time at the Shrine of the Blue Army. But it is a privilege to be here. I've always looked forward to coming here to this beautiful shrine. And I've known Father Miller, as you said, for a number of years through Christendom College and through the seminary. And he was asking me if I would give a few talks today on the different aspects of the Legion of Mary and the true devotion spirituality. Out of curiosity, how many of you are active members of the Legion of Mary? Okay, any auxiliaries here today? And any guests? Fantastic. Very nice to have all of you. The first talk is on Edel Quinn and our call to holiness and our call to evangelization. How many of you have ever read a book or a booklet about Edel Quinn? Okay, some of you have. Very good. The best book on Edel Quinn is written by Cardinal Suenin, and it's a tremendous biography which tells her life. And we know that Edel was born in Ireland in 1907, and as a young girl, she was very unselfish and very popular. She had a very outgoing personality. She was very attractive, and she had great leadership qualities. In fact, when she was a young girl, they named her the captain of the cricket team, and she was also involved in dancing and golf and tennis. Very wonderful young girl. And yet very early in her life, she began to develop a deep spiritual life. She, of course, was known in her early days for having a tremendous sense of humor. And on one occasion, she, would play some practical jokes on different people. And on one occasion, this was later on in her life, she was on her way out to Africa. And she had to go over to England to catch the boat that would take her to Africa. And she went with three of her girlfriends. And Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion of Mary, and a few others, went over to England to see her off. And of course, this was going to be the last time she would ever have the privilege of seeing her family. She said goodbye to her family in Ireland, and she went over to England. Well, her boat was delayed about 24 hours, and two of the party, Jack Nagle and late in Emma Bodkin, they had to go back to Ireland. They couldn't stay for the extra 24-hour layover. And so they, instead of them seeing Edel Quinn off on the boat, they all went down to the train station, and Edel Quinn and Frank Duff and all fall, Jack Nagle and Emma Bodkin back to Ireland. They had to take the train, go back to the coast to take the boat back over to Ireland. Well, the train was packed, and there was really only two seats left. But you know what Edel Quinn had done? She and some of her girlfriends had gone about a half an hour early to the train, had gotten this man and woman special train seat in the wedding cabin, and they had gotten all sorts of confetti and wedding decorations, and they decorated this whole cabin in the train as if these two were married. And so these two got on the train, and all of a sudden Edel Quinn pulls out all the confetti and starts throwing it all over everybody, and they started singing songs for these two. Now, of course, the female legionary, well, she took it fine. She had no problem with it. But Jack Nagle was mortified. It said he had the newspaper, and he kept his face in the newspaper the entire train ride. That's the kind of thing Edel Quinn would do. She had such a wit about her, and just a great sense of humor. And think of this, she was about to leave to go to Africa as a missionary, and she was not even thinking about herself. She was thinking in terms of how she could play some practical jokes on these other legionaries. She's just a tremendous girl, and we know that St. Thomas Aquinas says that God's grace builds upon nature, and we see the nature, the qualities that Edel Quinn had, were so beautiful that when God built his grace upon that, she was able to do tremendous things in Africa. When Edel Quinn was still in Ireland, she was a secretary for a firm, and she began to develop her skills as a typist, and which of course God used later on when she was in Africa, when she would correspond with the legionaries. She also had to learn a few languages in Ireland because of the firm she worked with, and this particular language helped her eventually when she got to Africa. Now there was, again, as she was growing up, she began to develop this deep interior life, and she had a great love for the Holy Eucharist. In fact, when Del Quinn was confirmed, she took the name Eucharia as her confirmation name, because she wanted to be named after the Holy Eucharist. The name Eucharia, the feminine for Eucharist. Even at this young age, of confirmation age, she loved the Eucharist so much that she wanted to have the name for her confirmation name. And she, at a very early age, began going to daily Mass. She would wake up early and go to 7 o'clock daily Mass and receive our Lord. She never wanted to miss a day without receiving our Lord in Holy Communion. And on Sundays, Edel Quinn would go to many Masses. She would get up on Sunday morning and go to a 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock Mass. She would just stay for 3, 4, or 5 Masses. She said she could not get enough of the Mass. She loved the Mass so much that she, on Sundays, would want to be there for as many Masses as possible. During this young life of hers, she began to grow in her love of God, increase in faith, hope, and charity, and she began to want to give herself more to God. And one particular evening, she called up a friend of hers named Mona Tierney, and she asked Mona if she would come to tea at Edel's house. And Mona said, I'm afraid I can't because I have a Legion of Mary meeting to go to. And Edel Quinn had never heard of a Legion of Mary. And she said, Mona, what is that? And Mona said, oh, you wouldn't be interested in it. That's not the type of thing you'd be interested in. Well, Edel Quinn said, well, maybe I would. Why don't you tell me about it? Well, Mona said, well, I'll let you come along to one of the meetings. So Edel Quinn came to the Legion meeting, and she fell in love with it, and it changed her whole life. But, of course, her friend Mona told the president after the meeting, she said, oh, Edel Quinn, she's not Legion material. Don't worry about her. So here was Mona Tierney thinking that because Edel Quinn was so carefree and so lively and spirited, that she would not be very much interested in the Legion. But as you know, she certainly was. So Edel Quinn joined the Legion, and pretty soon, though, she began thinking in terms of the religious life. Edel Quinn wanted to be a Poor Clare nun, and she was accepted into the Poor Clare convent in Belfast. That was her great desire, was to become a religious, to become a Poor Clare nun. And so she went to the convent, and she was in it for a time being, but they discovered she had tuberculosis. And so Edel Quinn had to leave the Poor Clare, and then she went into a sanatorium, and she was there for 18 months, a year and a half. She lived in the sanitarium and had a great deal of suffering when she was there. But during that time, she got to read a great many good spiritual books and deepen her prayer life. And then one day she just got up and she left. She said, I'm not going to sit here sitting up in my coffin. I'm going to get out and go back into my work and into the Legion. So she resumed her Legion membership. And after a period of time, she heard that some legionaries were going over to England. And they were going over to England to extend the Legion. And she got permission from Frank Duff to go over to England for 2 weeks on vacation and to extend the Legion. And another legionary was sent with her to make sure that if there was any sign of her poor health, that they would bring her back right away. But when she was over in Wales, in England, she did very well and extended the Legion and thrived on it and actually grew better physically. And so when she came back, she asked Frank Duff if she could leave her job and move to England and get a job over there and work full-time for the Legion. And Frank Duff was going to bring this up at the next Concilium meeting, but in the meantime, the Concilium received a letter from the Bishop in Africa, Bishop Heffernan, requesting a missionary, a full-time legionary envoy to Africa. And so Edel Quinn was asked by Frank Duff, Edel, would it make any difference to you if you went to Africa or England? And Edel Quinn's heart just leapt with joy. And she said, I'll go wherever Our Lady wants me. And so it was brought up at the Mexican Chili meeting as far as where Adele Quinn would go. And she, of course, was willing to go to Africa, and Frank Duff wanted her to go to Africa as well. And so it was brought up at the Conchilian meeting where to send her. Now, people had heard this was going to be discussed at the Conchilian, and there was a lot of apprehension, because here was a girl who had tuberculosis, who was about 30 years old, very poor health, and to send her to Africa, a lot of people thought would be sending her to her death. People thought she would never even be able to make the boat ride all the way over to Africa. But Frank Duff thought that this was God's will, and so he brought it up at the Conchilian meeting. And there was a great deal of opposition. And one of the people that were opposed to it was Father McGinnis, a very well-respected priest at that time. And he said, to send Adele to Africa would be murder. And, you know, people started to, you know, follow his ideas. And Adele Quinn stood up and said, Father, I realize I'm not going on a picnic. And Father McGinnis, he did himself in because he couldn't resist making a little joke. And he said, picnic, picnic, you'll be a picnic, Adele, for some cannibal. And of course, Frank Duff seized on the humor of it, and he stood up, and of course, there was Adele, very thin, very weak, and he said, I call all of you in this room to witness that Adele would not be much of a sizable picnic to anybody down there. Of course, everybody broke up in laughter, and pretty soon a new spirit ushered into the room, and they agreed to send Adele Quinn to Africa. And she went there and was there in Africa for 8 years as a missionary. And I think because of the warm climate down there, it was good for her tuberculosis, and she did survive, and Our Lady kept her alive to work for 8 years. The territory she was in was 1,000 miles wide and 700 miles long, a huge territory for a young girl. And she worked very dedicatedly as an envoy of religion and spent herself for the love of God. Adele Quinn truly lived the spirit of religion. And if you know in your Legion handbook, on about page 10 in the handbook, there's a little chapter called The Spirit of the Legion of Mary. And in it, it says the spirit of the Legion of Mary is the spirit of Mary herself. And then it lists, from the true devotion, the 10 principal virtues of our Blessed Mother. And think about these virtues in relationship to Adele Quinn's life. For example, it says that one of Mary's profound virtues is her humility. Her deep humility. And we know Adele Quinn had the same humility. It says that when she was working with the bishops and the missionaries in Africa, people were just won over by Adele Quinn's humility. She was so humble and so meek that Frank Duff said that just by seeing her, people were won over to her. She had profound humility, which she modeled after our Blessed Mother. The second virtue that De Montfort says that Our Lady had in tremendous degree were perfect obedience. Mary was perfectly obedient to the will of God, and Adele Quinn was also perfectly obedient to Our Lady, especially as a Legion missionary. Adele Quinn was always very hesitant to do her own will. She would always write back to the headquarters, the Conchilium, and say, give me some advice on this, or give me some advice on that. Adele Quinn lived the spirit of obedience. If they told her to go to Nairobi or go to Kenya or go to an island, she just did it. She had this obedience following Our Lady's example. And De Montfort says the third great virtue of Our Lady was her angelical sweetness. Her angelical sweetness. And that's one thing that everybody loved about Adele Quinn was her great sweetness, her great charity, her great joy. In fact, when she was in Africa, she had to travel throughout the jungle in her beat-up old car. She had a Mohammedan driver, and she called this car her Rolls Royce. And it would just go through the jungle, and it was so loud and noisy that it said the missionaries could hear this car from about 10 miles away. Whenever they heard the rattle of her motor car, they all began to get very happy and very excited that Adele Quinn was going to come out there. Because she had such a sweetness, such a radiance about her, that the missionaries loved to have her come and visit them. The fourth virtue, principal virtue of Our Lady, is her continual prayer. Continual prayer. And Adele Quinn had this continual prayer as well when she was in Africa. When she would be driven around, you know, hundreds of miles. In fact, on one occasion, she had to drive 100 miles just to see a bishop who was visiting for the time being. And he was only going to be there one day. So Adele Quinn drove 100 miles just to see the bishop, met with him and turned around and drove 100 miles back just to see him. And during that whole time she was driving, she would be in continual prayer, like St. Paul says, to pray without ceasing. In fact, somebody once asked Adele Quinn, Adele, what do you do in the back of the car when you're driven all over Africa? You know what she said? She said, I just love him. Referring to Jesus. I just sit there and love him. Adele tried to always be in the state of silence, in the state of deep interior prayer with our Lord and our Blessed Mother. The fifth virtue that the Montfort lists is universal mortification, that Mary always had a great penitential spirit, and a spirit of prayer, and a spirit of penance. And Adele Quinn lived a spirit of mortification. She was born on September 14th, the feast day of the Triumph of the Cross. And Adele Quinn's whole life was a cross. From the time she grew up and her tuberculosis and her missionary work in Africa, she truly lived the meaning and the mystery of the cross. In fact, Adele Quinn said that the choicest gift that the Blessed Mother will ever give her children is the gift of the cross. And you know, when St. Louis de Montfort would end his letters, he would say, may God send you many little crosses. How'd you like to receive a letter like that from one of your friends? You'd probably think, oh, thanks a lot. But St. Louis de Montfort realized the value of the cross, and so did Adele Quinn. Adele Quinn suffered terribly by some of the diseases that she contracted in Africa, and especially through her tuberculosis, and the heat in Africa was just stifling. The next virtue that the Montfort talks about is Mary's spotless purity. Our Lady was so pure. She was the Immaculate Conception. Adele Quinn also lived a very pure life. At a young age, she took a personal, private vow of virginity. A lot of people don't realize that. I'm not sure if it mentions that in her biography, but she made a personal vow of virginity that she was going to give her life to Christ as a virgin. And De Montfort says Mary had heroic patience. Adele Quinn lived this virtue as well. Tremendous patience. Trying to learn the language, all the different dialects in Africa, dealing with the different caste systems and the different prejudices that existed in Africa. And she lived a great deal of life of patience. And the next virtue is her heavenly wisdom. And Mary is known for her wisdom, and so was Adele. Adele is known for heavenly wisdom modeled after our Blessed Mother. In fact, people came to her for advice and suggestions, and people came to her when they were fearful. When Adele Quinn was suffering from tuberculosis in the sanatorium, one of the patients died suddenly during the night, and the young nurse that went into this young woman's room and discovered that this young woman had died. And instead of going to the chief nurse, to the head nurse, she went to Adele Quinn and woke her up and said, Adele, help me, I'm very scared, what should I do? Can you imagine that? A nurse went to Adele Quinn, woke her up in the middle of the night and said, Adele, tell me what to do. That's the kind of wisdom, the kind of advice, the kind of counsel that Adele Quinn would give. And then number nine is the ninth principal virtue of Our Lady is her self-sacrificing, courageous love of God. Adele Quinn lived this virtue as well. Tremendous love of God. Self-sacrificing, she was willing to leave her family. You know, when Adele Quinn got on that boat, she wrote a letter to Frank Duff, a handwritten letter which was later on sent to the Vatican to promote her cause. And in that letter, she basically said, thank you for giving me the chance to show my love for God. And she really said that she would never return. You know, people thought she was just going for 3 years as an envoy and then was going to come back. Edel Quinn told some of her friends and told Frank Duff, "I will never come back. If I go over there, I'm going to die there. I'm going to sacrifice my life in the mission to spread the Legion of Mary throughout Africa." She had self-sacrificing, courageous love, willing to sacrifice, leaving her mother and father and her family members whom she loved dearly. Just like the monks of old, the monks of the Peregrinatio, who left Ireland back in the 400s and 500s to re-evangelize Europe. Edel Quinn left her land and went on a Peregrinatio pro Christo for the salvation of souls. And the tenth virtue, which the Montfort says Our Lady had, was her faith, her deep faith. And Edel Quinn had a deep faith as well. A faith really to move mountains, and that's exactly what she did in Africa, was to move mountains. Edel Quinn's main spirituality was the Montfort's true devotion. She truly lived and read and studied and preached and talked about, wherever she went, the true devotion by St. Louis de Montfort. She loved the book, and she read it, and she lived it. And she lived her dedication, her consecration, and she also tried to live in union with Mary, to speak as Mary would speak, to love as Mary would love, to listen as Mary would listen, to love Jesus in people as Mary would love Jesus. And Frank Duff called her the quintessence of the Legion of Mary. Frank Duff called her the true faith of the Legion. You know, Pope John the 23rd said that the Legion of Mary presents the true faith of the Catholic Church. And Frank Duff said that Edel Quinn represented the true faith, the true spirit, the true essence of the Legion of Mary, which of course is the essence of de Montfort's true devotion. Total consecration, total abandonment to Jesus through Mary, and then the living out of that in union with Mary. Edel Quinn had, as a very fiber of her spiritual life, the idea of Mary's motherhood of the mystical body. And of course, the Legion of Mary, you could boil it down, the Legion of Mary truly is Mary's mothering of the mystical body today in 1992. A lot of times you hear different definitions of the Legion. You know, people say, what is the Legion of Mary? The best definition I've heard was given by Frank Duff back in 1958. He said, the Legion of Mary is Mary's up-to-date garment of flesh. Mary's up-to-date garments of flesh. In other words, the Legion of Mary is Mary all over again. Is Mary living through her members who are trying to live in union with Mary to bring Christ to the world and to see and serve our Lord and others. And isn't that what we say at our Legion meeting in the third standing instruction? The performance of a substantial act of legionary work in the spirit of faith and in union with Mary, in such fashion that in those worked for and in one's fellow members, the person of our Lord is once again seen and served by Mary, his mother. So I believe the Legion of Mary is the spiritual, mystical body of Mary, alive today, living within you. Mary is living within you, and she wants you to love Jesus, who is present in everybody you visit, in your shut-ins, in the prisoners, in the nursing homes, in the children you teach in CCD. Jesus lives in each and every person, and the Legion is Mary's mothering of the mystical body today. It's truly the mother of the Church. And Edel Quinn understood this, that she tried to mother souls. Edel Quinn was so motherly, even though she never married, never had any children of her own, never had a family, Edel Quinn tried to live this motherhood of Mary. And motherhood of Mary obliges apostleship. Motherhood of Mary, because Mary's up in heaven now, and her job is to try to get souls to heaven and get them close to our Lord. If we're going to be in union with Mary, we also must mother souls and must evangelize and spread the faith and bring souls to God, if we're going to be in union with Mary. So Edel Quinn truly understood the essence of the Legion, which is de Montfort's true devotion, which is completely dedicating ourselves to Mary, living in union with Mary, and trying to see and serve Jesus and others and bringing them to Christ and bringing Christ to the world. Miguel Quinn was the embodiment, I believe, of the spirit of allegiance, which De Montfort says, of course, and Frank Duff says, is the spirit of Mary herself. Pope Paul VI said that he wants the story of Miguel Quinn told to everybody in the whole world. Pope Paul VI, after reading her life, said, I want her story told to the whole world. That's how much he thought Miguel Quinn's spirituality would benefit the entire world. It's very interesting that Cardinal Ribéry said about Miguel Quinn that deep in the jungles of Africa, Miguel Quinn was changing the course of the history of China. A lot of people don't realize that, but before the Pope sent Cardinal Ribéry to China as the papal nuncio, he was a bishop in Africa, and Miguel Quinn met Cardinal Ribéry in Africa and talked to him about the Legion. And Cardinal Ribéry saw what the Legion was doing, getting the lay people to evangelize in Africa. And when he went to China, he was the one who started the Legion of Mary and tried to spread it throughout China. He was the one who got Father McGrath. Some of you probably have met Father McGrath. He got Father McGrath to go and spread the Legion throughout all of China. He would not have done that had he not met Miguel Quinn in the jungles of Africa. So he says that here is this one little girl, at that time, young woman, 30 years old, 32 years old, who is changing the course of the whole history of China. Because as you know, the Legion of Mary was a tremendous force against the communists in China in 1949, 1950, 1951, when the church tried to crush, when communism tried to crush the church. So it was thanks to Miguel Quinn's work in Africa that the church was strengthened throughout all of China. So how can we relate this to our lives as legionaries? How can we relate this idea of Miguel Quinn to our daily lives? Well, as Father Miller said, the church wants a new evangelization. And the Pope is calling for this decade to be a decade of evangelization. The 1990s, the Pope wants as a novena of years before the year 2000. If we begin with this year, 1992, we have 9 years, including this year, before the year 2000. And the Pope wants we, and wants you and me as legionaries, to spread our faith and to evangelize over these next 9 years to prepare for the year 2000, to prepare for the second millennium. And the Pope wants us to be motivated. He wants us to spread our faith and to be zealous apostles. So my favorite story about motivation happened down in Texas. It was a Texas rancher, and he had, this man was a millionaire, and he owned thousands of acres of very good land. He owned dozens of producing oil wells, and he owned 5,000 head of cattle, and he had a huge mansion, and he also had a beautiful 25-year-old daughter who was just very interested in getting married. And so the owner of this millionaire decided to have a little coming out party and to invite all the young men from that area to come and so he could look them over so that he could maybe introduce one of them to his daughter and have his daughter married off. And so he had this big party and he called all these young men, about 100 young men from all parts of Texas came to this big get together, and the party was going along very well. And about midnight, the host said, I'd like all of you young men to come out to my swimming pool, which the host had filled up with alligators and crocodiles. And so he had all the young men stand on one end of the swimming pool. And he said to that young man, as you know, I'm the richest man in Texas. I own thousands of acres of land. I have dozens of producing oil wells. I own thousands of head of cattle. And I also have a beautiful daughter who is looking to get married. Now, whoever is the first of you to jump into this swimming pool, swim the length of it, and come out the other end of it, you have one of three choices. I'll either give you $2 million in cash, or I'll give you 5,000 acres of my very best land, or I'll give you, if you don't want that, the hand of my beautiful daughter in marriage. And as you know, whoever marries her will eventually get all this. Well, no sooner had he said these words than a young man He heard a splash. The host looked over, and this young man was working his way across the pool, came out on the other side of the pool. He had set a world record that will never be broken. And so the host ran over and started shaking this man. He said, "Congratulations, young man. What would you want? Do you want the $2 million in cash?" The young man said, "No, sir." "Well, do you want 5,000 acres of my very best land?" The young man said, "No, sir." "Well, then I presume you want the hand of my beautiful daughter in marriage." The young man said, "No, sir." The millionaire said, "Well, for crying out loud, what do you want?" The young man says, "I want to know the name of that dude who pushed me in the swimming pool." That young man was motivated by his crocodiles and alligators, right? Now, we as legionaries have to be motivated as well. Not out of fear, like that young man was motivated by fear, right? We as legionaries want to be motivated, but we want to be motivated by love. We want to be motivated by the love of souls and the love of God. St. John Bosco said, "Lord, give me soul and take all the rest." We as legionaries need to be motivated to spread our faith and to evangelize. Right now in the world, there are about 5 billion people on the face of this earth. You know how many of them are Catholic? About 1 billion. Only 20% of the world belongs to the church that Jesus established. That's pretty sad, isn't it? He came 2,000 years ago, and still 80% of the world does not belong to the church that he founded. 80% of the world is not receiving the Eucharist. 80% of the world has not even heard of the seven sacraments and our Blessed Mother and the Pope. We are living basically in a neo-pagan time, and the Pope wants us to evangelize, to spread our faith. Imagine if every single Catholic, there's 950 million of them, almost 1 billion Catholics, if every Catholic would just bring one other person into the Catholic Church, we'd be up to 2 billion, just like that. It's not that hard, really, right? If every one of you brought one person into the Catholic Church this coming year, we have twice as many. If every single Catholic, 950 million, brought one more, we have 2 billion. And if every one of those 2 billion Catholics brought just one more person, not five, just one, we'd be up to 4 billion. If everybody just brought one other person into the faith. Now, a lot of Catholics aren't going to do that, so it's up to us, as legionaries, to make up for that and to evangelize and to spread our faith. And that's what you're doing week after week in your Catholic faith. Now, it's never too late to convert. Sometimes you meet people on your legion assignments and you say, "Oh, I'm too old to convert." You ever hear that one? Well, if you ever hear that, tell them about John Wayne. Did you know that John Wayne, on his deathbed, converted to Catholicism? He'd always wanted to be a Catholic, but he never did until the very last moment of his life. He called in a Catholic priest and converted. So it's never too late. In fact, when you evangelize, never get discouraged about evangelization, because sometimes it might be difficult work, but your reward will be great in heaven. In fact, some of you have heard of St. Peter Chanel, who was a missionary to some of the Polynesian islands. And St. Peter Chanel labored for 30 years trying to get a convert and trying to baptize and evangelize. And after 30 years of working, he only had one convert out of 30 years. Now, I think St. Peter Chanel was very sad and very discouraged. And as he was on his deathbed, I'm sure St. Peter Chanel said to our Lord, "Lord, here I am. I've worked for 30 years, and all I get is one lousy convert." And yet, after he died, after St. Peter Chanel died, a few years later, that one convert was elected the tribal leader. He was elected the chief. And because he was the leader of the island, the entire island of thousands of people were all baptized, and they all became part of the Catholic Church. Now, Peter Chanel never saw that in his lifetime. The same thing with you. You might never see some of the results of your work in your lifetime, but don't lose heart. You will get your reward in heaven. So just like Peter Chanel may have been discouraged, look what happened. That the key person was the one, and the whole island was converted. You never know the influence you have on a soul. In fact, there were once about 20 years ago, there were two men at a construction site, And one of the men was a Catholic, the other one was an anti-Catholic. And he even criticized the Blessed Mother. And he said to, the Catholic, he said something derogatory about the Blessed Mother. And the Catholic got vehemently angry and said, "How dare you speak about that way about the mother of our Savior?" Well, the anti-Catholic, was very shocked that the Catholic loved Mary so much. And he went home, and the anti-Catholic started to realize, I wonder why that good, devout Catholic got so angry that he was criticizing the Blessed Mother. And this man began to change. His heart began to soften because of what the Catholic stood up for. And pretty soon, this anti-Catholic began studying the Catholic faith. And he began to read about the Church and read about the Blessed Mother, and eventually he became a Catholic himself. Then he entered the seminary and became a Catholic priest. And then he was made a bishop, and he's a former bishop of the Diocese of Erie, Pennsylvania. Just because on the construction site, a Catholic stood up for the Catholic faith. There it is, incredible story, but a true story of how through evangelization, you never know who you're going to evangelize and what that soul will eventually do to the Church. Imagine if somebody had gotten to talk with Martin Luther before he broke away from the Catholic Church. Imagine if two of you legionaries had gone door to door and met Martin Luther on your door to door visitation. If you were able to convince him not to break away from the Catholic Church, you know what would have happened? Millions and millions of souls down through the ages would not have been deprived of the Holy Eucharist or a Blessed Mother or the seven sacraments or the beauties of the Catholic Church. That's the importance of evangelization. Our Lord is calling us to evangelize. The Lord is calling us to witness and to spread our faith. In fact, some of you have remembered this tremendous story that happened on a train about the turn of the century. An old man got on the train and he was saying his rosary. And he was just saying his rosary. And the young man got on the train, a big stack of books, a university student. And he sat down across from this old man. And he said to him, "Old man, why are you still saying the rosary? Don't you know that science has disproved all those superstitions about God and about Mary and about the rosary?" Well, the old man just sort of smiled and kept praying his rosary. Well, the train eventually came to a stop. And the old man got off the train. But before he did, he took out his business card and he handed it to the young man. He says, "Could you do me the favor of sending me some of your science books so that I might become enlightened like you?" And the old man got off the train and walked away. The young man turned the business card over. You know what it said? "Dr. Louis Pasteur, the head of the Department of Science, University of Paris." Here he was, the most intelligent, the most brilliant scientist alive at that time in the whole world, was saying his rosary beads, praying the rosary. The brilliant, most brilliant scientist, the one who had written most of those textbooks, was praying his rosary. Now, I'll be willing to bet that young man never mailed off any of those books to Dr. Pasteur. In fact, when I'm at my parish, I tell the kids, I give them an assignment. I tell them to go into their refrigerator and open up the refrigerator and take out the milk and look for the word pasteurized. And the kids all love to do that. And I say, that is named after one of the greatest Catholic scientists that we've ever had. So we don't quit, we're filled with the spirit of evangelization, and we're called to evangelize and called to spread our faith. Adele Quinn truly lived this call to holiness and the call to evangelization. So in the upcoming talks, we have the rosary now at 11 o'clock, and we'll have Mass at 11:30, and during the Mass, which is on the feast day of Corpus Christi, we'll be talking about the Legionary and the Holy Eucharist, and then in this afternoon's talk around 2 o'clock, we'll be talking about Frank Duff and his discovery of the true devotion. So think about Adele Quinn, and think about her great love of God, her love of the Blessed Mother. Think about that she responded to the call to holiness. Because Vatican II did say, and does say, that every Catholic is called to holiness and to the apostolate. Every Catholic is called by their baptism to become a saint, and they're called to spread their faith. It's not optional. The popes have said, and Vatican II has said, that all of us are called to follow in the footsteps of people like Adele Quinn, who really responded to the call to holiness and the call to evangelize. Pray for her beatification. God willing, during our lifetime, the adult sin will become beatified and canonized. So if you could, maybe today, offer up your Mass, if you don't have a special intention already, offer up your Mass today, if you could, for the beatification of Adele Quinn and the beatification of Frank Duff, that one day we may have them as Legion saints, and may one day all of us become saints as well. God bless you.